Thanks for listening to the Anchored Hope podcast. We'd love it if you'd give us a review and subscribe to our podcast so that you can listen to our Sunday messages every week. We want to let you know about a great opportunity we have coming up in the Affordable Christmas Shop. The Affordable Christmas Shop is an empowering holiday event that offers a dignified way to help under-resourced parents provide a joyful Christmas for their children. Through generous donations, families are invited to purchase items at a tenth of the retail price for their children. And the focus is not only the opportunity to provide gifts, but to foster relationships with these families. We would love it if you'd make a donation. You can find out more about this event at www.anchoredhope.church. Thanks for listening. If you're just joining us, we've been in a series the last 4 weeks called Made for Mondays, and we've been talking about our work life. We've been talking about how important our work life is because we're going to spend a pretty significant chunk of time of our life at work. It's estimated that you're going to spend about 90,000 hours, about a third of your life at work. So when one day you pass away and you go meet God, you know what? That's going to be a big chunk of your life that God's going to look at and go, you know, let's talk about this a little bit. I mean, a third of your life, that's pretty massive. So we got to pay attention to our work life because it matters to God. But also, it's a third of our life. It's somewhere where we don't want to be in despair and anxiety and fear and stressed out all the time. That would be no good. That wouldn't be any healthy. So we've been talking about how to take our work life and instead of, you know, dreading it, instead of not looking forward to it, actually looking at it as a great opportunity in front of us. And so we've been kind of using the words of the Apostle Paul to inspire us a little bit. And this is what Paul said. Paul said, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, and yeah, even you're going to work. And you're walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. And what we talked about is that because of the new covenant, because of what Jesus did for us, in the Old Testament, you laid something on the altar, you killed it, and you sent it up to God. But that's not the way it is anymore. The new covenant, what Jesus made with us, is now we don't lay anything down. God laid his son down for us, and so nothing has to be laid down, and nothing has to be killed. We don't need to kill ourselves. We don't need to die. We need to live for. So we live for God, and we lay ourselves on the altar, and we live for God. And so one of the things we took away the very first week is we said this. We said, your workplace is a place of worship. Because everywhere you go, there you go. This is not a temple method or a temple covenant any longer. God is not just contained to a church or a temple. God's spirit lives in us. And where we go, there goes God. And so God's spirit is with us everywhere we go. So where we go, whatever we do is an act of worship to God. And so when we go to work, we are actually choosing to or not worship God. And so we could choose to do that. And then the second week, where I was sick, and all of you noticed something that was very, very wrong with me because I sped through my sermon before I threw up. I talked about this, the words of Paul in Colossians. He talked about working hard, and he said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you're working for the Lord and not for human masters. Here's the thing. You don't like your boss? That's okay. Your boss is a person, and no person is perfect, so you're never going to have a perfect boss. But we should always do our best. We should always work at everything the hardest we possibly can. Christians should be the hardest workers in the room. They should be on time. They should be the most respectful. They should have the most integrity. Why? Because we're not working for men. We're working for God. We are working to bring glory and honor to God. And he did his best for us. And so we are going to do our best for him. And then Pastor Carrie, she spoke last week and did a terrific job. And I loved what she talked about. She talked about how it's important to work hard, but not to be a workaholic. And one of the things I took away from her message is she said this. She said, being a hard worker isn't the same as being a workaholic. You should be a hard worker. But always remember that you're not working for human validation. You're not working for human praise. You're not working for a human blessing. You're working for God. And God himself even asks us to rest, to find balance, to prioritize things in the right way. And work should never be first. Work should never come before family. Work should never come before God. If we're going to glorify and honor God at our work, we have to prioritize things the right way. And didn't Pastor Carrie do an awesome job? She did terrific last week. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Women pastors represent, right? We for that here at Anchored Hope Church. Oh, man. Anyway, I'm not going to get on that tangent. But the fourth thing I want to talk to you about this week, and actually, my plan was to do four weeks of this series, but you guys have given me great feedback. I've had some great conversations. We're actually going to add a fifth week to this. Next week, we're going to talk about when is it okay to quit? Because some of you have said, I feel like God's telling me to quit my job. When is it okay to quit? And what does it look like when a Christian quits his job? That's what we're going to talk about next week. So that's going to be a little bonus episode next week that we're going to add on. But this week, what I want to talk to you about is the opportunity that you have at your work that I'm actually envious of. I'm actually jealous because there's actually something you get to do that I never get to do. And that's this. Your work is an opportunity to be a witness. Let me tell you something about myself. I creep people out. All God's people said amen. All right. I thought it was going to come from my wife. I knew there would be an amen. I thought, who's going to say amen? My wife, Bo. I didn't expect you, Wes, because you just got your minister's license, and I could quickly take that away. Anyway, I do. I creep people out, right? And so, you know, here's the thing. As a pastor, I'm up here at the church mostly by myself. There's two staff members here, me and a mouse that lives upstairs, and we don't talk much. And so, you know, I don't get to go to work and like make a difference or impact people, you know? But you do. You have this awesome opportunity because I kind of creep people out. Like when people are around me, like I don't look like a typical pastor. Amen? We can say amen to that. I don't look like a typical pastor. And so, you know, usually though, at some point in meeting somebody, it does come up, you know, when that question comes up, so like people ask, what do you do? That always comes up when you're first meeting people. And so I've been to a lot of different places, you know, and we're having a great time and they really like me and they think I'm a normal person. And then they say, you know, what do you do? And I say, I'm a pastor, you know, and they just spit their alcoholic drink back in their cup, you know. They swallow their cigarette, you know, a lot of different things have happened. And so, you know, when they feel like, hear that I'm a pastor, just everything changes, you know, people's language changes, you know, all of a sudden they went from using F words to different words. And I'm like, what happened here all of a sudden? Because all of a sudden they freak out because pastor's in their presence. And so I even have a little trick that I do. I tried this on an airplane once. Sometimes I don't tell people I'm a pastor. And I don't lie, I just kind of go around the subject. And so one time I was on a plane, and I was talking to a person, we were having a really good conversation, and they said, so what do you do? And I said, I'm the CEO and president of a non-for-profit company outside of St. Louis in Troy, Missouri. And they said, oh, that's fascinating. Tell me what your non-for-profit does. And I didn't lie. I told them what we did. I told them about the Affordable Christmas Shop. I told them about our grief counseling group. I told them about all kinds of things. And then the plane landed, and they said, can I get a card from you? I said, yeah, absolutely. So I gave them a card, and they said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that your non-for-profit Anchored Hope is a church? I said, gotcha, sucker, you know? And that's kind of how I've gone around the issue, because people freak out whenever they hear that I'm a pastor. And so, you know, I've switched it up before, and people just don't want to talk to a pastor. You know, people don't want to talk to a pastor. People kind of act differently around me. They change their language and stuff. I literally had a guy try to like meet me on common ground and have a conversation with me. He's like, oh, yeah, you're a pastor. I like that Bible thing. You know, I like the New Testament where they just took the old and they updated it. And that's really good stuff. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, can we just go back to your whatever you were doing before? And it's just because it's just weird. I mean, even some of you guys, can you guys just admit? I mean, you know, I know this is kind of creepy of me. Again, I have dropped by some of your guys' work sometimes, just randomly, just for a spot check, you know? Or I've brought you coffee or a drink or something, and some of you guys are really good about it. You know, you're like, oh, hey, pastor, what's up? Others of you, you know, you've kind of treated me like the boyfriend you didn't want anyone to know about. And you know, and then I see what happens when I leave and people are like, who's that guy who just brought you coffee? You're like, oh, that's the president of the non-for-profit company that I go to on the weekends. Anchored Hope. Yeah, they do a lot of good for the community, you know. And so there's just like that stigma there, right? And so here's the thing. Can you guys tell I'm feeling a lot better? I'm feeling a lot better. I guess this is how you expect me to act. So you guys, though, you have this opportunity in front of you. You have this awesome opportunity in front of you to reach people that I will never be able to reach. To talk to people about God and faith that I will never be able to talk to. Because number one, I don't go to your work and start preaching my sermons very often. And number two, most of the people you work with will never make their way into here, right? I mean, you have people who live too far away or don't live in Troy because we all work all everywhere from St. Louis to Troy, and it's very complicated and complex. And so about 98% of the people you come into contact with during the week will never make their way into here. So guess what? For some of the people you work with and that you run into from your Monday to Friday, you are the only church those people are ever going to get. You are the only Jesus disciple those people are ever going to be able to run into. You're going to be the voice of God in some of those people's lives. You're going to have an opportunity that I could never have. You have this awesome opportunity in front of you to be a witness in your Monday through Friday. So here's the thing. If you've ever prayed the prayer that I hear people talk about all the time, I just want to be used by God. I'm just praying that God would use me. I want God to do something with me. I want my life to matter. I want purpose in my life. And we always think that means something grand or a speech or a sermon or a role or a label or going somewhere overseas. But the thing is, the truth is that God has you right where he needs you to make a difference right now. You are where you need to be right now in order to be used by God. You have an awesome opportunity in front of you, and it starts with what we've already talked about. The very first week, we talked about in our jobs and in our workplaces being a light in a dark place. Jesus himself talked about that. He said, you need to be a light in the darkness. But if you've never read the full verse and be able to understand the whole context of it, there's even more that Jesus said, and this is what he said. Matthew wrote this down, one of the apostles. He wrote this down, and he says this. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt, it's great. Put it on food, spices it up, gives it flavor. It's awesome. Salt is great. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? What good is it? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the salt of the earth, and you are also the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Again, they see your good deeds, and what do? What is it all about? Giving glory to God in heaven. You and I, if you're a Christian, you are called to be salt and light of the world. What does that look like? We've talked about a lot of different ways that this looks like. But you know what? It could look like this. We can be a blessing. We can be just a blessing. We can just be that coworker. We can be that person who is a blessing at work, who's not a burden, who doesn't have to be prodded or discouraged in order to do their job. We can just do a good job. Christians should be the hardest workers in the room. They should be dependable. You should be able to count on them at all times. You know what? We can be encouragers. Instead of discouragers, we can be encouragers. We can lift people up. We can give people high fives. We can tell people they're doing a good job. We can encourage people all around us all the time. You know what? We can be optimistic. How many people do we know that are pessimistic at our job? And how many times do those pessimistic people make us join in with their pessimism? You know what? We can be optimistic people. We can have hope. And you know what? We can be a coolant. This is a new fruit of the Spirit I've just invented, okay? If Jesus were alive today and we're looking for a relevant message, he'd say, you know what I want you to be? I want you to be the coolant of the earth. Because how many times are people frustrated? And then how many times does frustration break into gossip? And the anger is flared and the temperature is raised up and the workplace and the culture becomes hostile. You know what? As Christians, we need to be the coolants of the earth. We need to bring the temperature down. We need to use our optimism, our hope, and be encouragers to be able to say, you know what, it's all going to be okay, man. It's going to be all right. Let's not gossip about anybody. Let's not talk about that right now. Let's not tear down Karen. We all know Karen, you know, and nobody likes Karen, but it's okay. Karen's great. Karen's having a hard week. We love Karen. Let's give Karen a cupcake. Let's still include her on our lunch. That's okay. It's all right. I know she didn't clean the microwave. That's a Karen thing to do, but it's all right. We'll clean the microwave. I'll clean it. I'll take it on myself, right? I'll bear that cross. It's okay. I'll clean up the exploded microwave, all right? It's my bad. I'll do it. We can be this. Now, if you're not a Christian, okay, you could fake this. It's full. It's cool. You could fake this. And you know what? You would be the employee of the month right here, okay? So if you don't even believe in Jesus yet, if you're just checking this out, if you're like, I'm not so sure about this, just go ahead and test this. You take these fruits of the Spirit. You talk about what God called love and how God spells out love, being patient, kind, been keeping no record of wrongs. You test that out in your work, in your marriage, with their kids. I'm telling you, everyone will love you. It's a guaranteed slam dunk. But as Christians, this is an obligation. This is what we're meant to do. This is our calling. This is who we are supposed to be. Now, when Matthew wrote these words down, I don't think they knew a thing that they were actually being told, because there is a lot left to be explained, and we understand it now because we know that Jesus died for us. We know he rose again, and we know in light of what Jesus did, what all this means and what it looks like. We also have the words of Paul, who spelled it out for us. But Matthew, he wrote these words down, and I don't think he really understood exactly what was going on. But he wrote these words down, and he's like, this is good stuff. This is going to be important. This is who we should be as Christians. But later on, the apostles had a great opportunity to understand what this would do, the impact it would have around them. After Jesus dies, he raises again 3 days later. He spends some time with the disciples, and then it says he ascended into heaven. So I don't know exactly what that looks like or what that means. I just think he took off like a superhero, okay? And so he takes off and he ascends into heaven, and then the apostles are commissioned by Jesus to go and to be fishers of men and to share everything that they have learned from Jesus with the rest of the world. And so they go out. Persecution breaks out on the Christian church, but each of them have kind of a different journey. And all the apostles who heard what Matthew heard were there. And one of the apostles that was there is a man by the name of Philip. And Philip has an interesting story. You don't hear too much about him. But in the book of Acts that was written by the apostle Luke, we do have some of the accounts of what happened. And so Philip is actually on a journey, and he gets called by the Spirit to go and to be a witness to somebody. I want to read this story to you that Luke documented for us and kind of get a picture of how it applies to us and the opportunity that we have to be a witness. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 27, this is what it says to us. It says, so he, this is Philip, started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. So he was the treasurer to the queen of Ethiopia, and he was a eunuch. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, two important things that we have to kind of have in frame of mind to kind of have context for this verse. The first thing is this, is that this man was a eunuch. Do I need to explain that word to anybody? Do I need to give a sermon illustration? Because I've got a hot dog and some scissors back here. I could show it to you real quick. Anyway, he was a eunuch, okay? Chris liked that one. He was a eunuch, all right? Google it later, you'll figure it out, all right? This guy was a eunuch. Now, why is this important? This is really important because what it means is he was an outsider. Eunuchs, by Old Testament Leviticus law, were not allowed to be worshipers, were not allowed near the temple. They were considered outsiders because they were castrated and they were eunuchs and they were not normal. They couldn't have relationships with people. They couldn't have families. So they were considered to be outsiders. And so this man was able to go and worship probably because of his status. This law changed later on. You can read about that in the book of Isaiah. It talks about how the law actually changed to allow eunuchs to be worshipers, but still socially he would never be accepted into a church family. There's no possible way he would ever be accepted in there. And so that's very important to know, is that he did go to worship, but he was not really a part of a church family. He was probably an outsider. Maybe he had to stand in the back and listen from afar. We really aren't sure, but we know he was an outsider. And the second thing to pick up is that this, he went to worship. He had just come back from church. And he was on his way from church, and for some reason, he had the book of Isaiah, the same Old Testament, Old Covenant book that we have in our Bibles. They weren't all collected together back then, so he had the book of Isaiah, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. Why was he reading the book of Isaiah? We really don't know. Maybe he had more questions. Maybe he didn't understand what he had just learned. Maybe he was very confused. Maybe he was trying to figure out why the law had been changed, but why he was still not accepted socially because of his condition. We don't know. But Philip is led to go next to this man, and he has no clue who he is. He has no clue he's a eunuch. He has no clue that he just came from church. But he walks up to him, and then Philip says this. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. And the man said this, "How can I? How can I understand any of this unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now here's the most interesting thing about this. How was Philip a witness to this man? Philip was a witness to this man. The first thing that he did is he placed himself in a witness position. He placed himself in a witness position. When I played basketball, I played basketball for 9 years. I know my height, that seems incredibly unlikely, but I was the point guard, so it was totally allowed. But I did. I played basketball for 9 years. And every coach I ever had, we always talked about the defense position. The defense position looked like this. Oh, some of you got scared. I know. Imagine being on the other side of the ball when I did that, right? But the defense position, you were never allowed to be relaxed, okay? If the other team had the ball, you were always in the defensive position. You were never just rolling back or just relaxed or like, what are you going to do with the ball? You were always in the defensive position, okay? And so anytime in the game we weren't in the defense position or anytime that we were in practice, we had to get used to it. He would always say, yell out. He'd go, defense position, and we'd all drop. And we'd stay in this stance because we had to be ready for anything. We had to be ready to steal the ball. We had to be ready for a pass. Always in the defense position. Here's the thing. The Spirit called Philip next to this man. And he said, I want you to just go near the chariot. I want you to just go near him. Just be near the chariot. And so guess what? Philip was kind of a creeper too. Philip just kind of went next to the chariot and he was just kind of hanging out and he was just kind of listening. And he saw the book of Isaiah, a book that he knew of, a book that he had probably studied, a book that he could probably explain a little bit. And so what did he do? He asked him, he goes, hey man, what are you reading? What are you reading? And then he goes, the book of Isaiah. And he goes, you understand any of that? He goes, no, I don't understand any of that. And he helps him out. But here's the thing, the very first thing that we have to understand is we have to be is in a witness position. How many times do we go to work? How many times are we around and all of a sudden an opportunity arises, a question comes up, somebody asks us something about what's going on in our life, or somebody just spills the beans about something personal and emotional and real, and we're like, I don't know what to do. I wasn't ready for this. I was just, you know, doing my work, and all of a sudden this person wants to talk about a healthy marriage or talking about these feelings they're having about these kids. I'm not ready for this. And we all of a sudden become kind of stumbled like marbles in our mouth all of a sudden. Here's the thing. When you go to work tomorrow, you got to be made for Mondays, but you got to be ready for Mondays too. You got to be in the witness position, all right? You got to be there. Yeah, that's what we're calling it now, all right? This has become the witness position. We're going to practice it here in a minute. That's what we're going to do. You doubt me, we are. We're going to be in the witness position, all right? We got to be ready. We got to be in the witness position because at any point in time, somebody may open up to us. Because here's the thing. If you are a blessing at work, if you are an encourager, if you are those fruits of the Spirit, if you are love, if you are optimistic, people are going to think you're crazy. People are. They're going to think something's different about you. You're a weirdo. You refuse to gossip. You are always on time. You are always the first one to volunteer. You are the hardest worker in this room. Something is wrong with you. What are you smoking? What are you taking? Because I want some. That's what they're going to say. Because it's going to be different. Because it's going to be light in the dark. It's going to be salt to the earth. And they're going to notice it. They're going to want it. And they're going to come to you. So when they're having relationship struggles, when they're having a bad day, when they get bad news at the doctor, guess who they're going to go to? You. For no reason, except for they just know something's different about you. And so when they come to you, you got to be ready in the witness position, all right? You've got to be there. And the thing is that Philip, he goes there and he is in the witness position. Now, once you're in the witness position, how do you know when it's the right time to be a witness? I love Andy Stanley's three knots. He shared this for a year at his North Point Community Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. But he says, if you ever hear one of these three knots, this is your open door. This is your opportunity. And these are what these are. You should write these down. You should put these in your phone. You should get this somewhere on paper so that you can read this again. But if you ever meet somebody or have a relationship with somebody that's not in church, just not in church, and they tell you that, and they go, man, I'm just not in church. You know what? I was talking about this with our grief support group that's going so well. We got a grief group that's meeting once a month. And the great thing about this is it's just a great group of people that come together as a community that can share their burdens with one another. Here's the thing that people don't understand out there. They think church is all about God. But here's the other part that they're missing and that we're trying to change people's minds about. It's not just about coming into a place where God is, because we've talked about that. God is not here. God is in all of us. It is also about belonging to a community and having a group of friends that have God inside of each of them, that lift each other up, carry each other's burdens, are there for one another. If you're not in one of our small groups, you are missing out, because our groups live life together. They are there for one another. Amen. Group people, people are in groups, group leaders. They love our groups. Because we do life together and we have friendships together, we support one another. People don't have that. They don't have the best other communities to be a part of. And so, you know what? When they're not in church, it's a great opportunity to invite them to come sit with you, to come to your group, to come to an event that we're having, and to meet some other friends who are just trying to be better at life like you are. Or if you hear somebody not going well, if somebody comes to you and they're like, man, it's not going well. My marriage isn't going well. My kids, it's not going well. My health, it's not going well. My finances, not going well. That's your opportunity to be a witness. That's your opportunity to go, you know what? It's so interesting that you said that. You know, I had something similar to that. And then my pastor, he did a series called What's the Wise Thing to Do? And he gave us this great question. In light of my past experiences, in light of my current circumstances, and in light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? It gave me so much clarity. Can I share that podcast with you? Here's the video. It's on Facebook. You ought to go. That's your opportunity. Things aren't going well. It's your opportunity to be a witness. Or you know what? I'm not prepared for. This has been so hard. We are fighting this cancer. We are going through this. I am just not prepared for this. I'm not ready for this. I'm anxious about this. It's your opportunity to be a witness. It's your opportunity to go, oh man, sister, I've been there. Let me tell you something. I went through that a couple years ago with my mom, and God got me through it. And this is what we did with our kids. And this is what happened when we were there. But you know what? We had a great church, and we have a great group of people who came alongside of us, who took care of us. You know, we weren't prepared for it, but God's got you. It's your opportunity to be a witness. That's your cue. That's your cue for an invitation. That's your cue for to ask a question. That's your cue to share wisdom. And what I love about this story, is that this man had just been to church. That's such an important note that I've never picked up on before until this week when I wrote this message. This man had just been to church. And he didn't know what he was thinking. He didn't know what he was reading. He didn't understand what he had just heard. You know, so many times us Christians, when we think about being a witness to somebody, we think about being a witness to somebody who's unchurched. You know, like when we're writing our fantasy witness draft list, which, you know, some of you Christians do that, you know, you write a name down, you know, and you're writing a draft list. Like this week, all right, I can't go over after Bill. The Baptists already have Bill. He's already accounted for. I'm not going to go after Bill. You know, but Karen, she came in hungover on Monday. So Karen's my next victim, you know. Karen, I'm going to come after Karen. There's no Karens in the room, are there? Because I'm talking a lot about Karen. All right. I'm going to go after Karen this week, you know, because she has those sinner tendencies. So I'm going to write her down as my target of the week. Get ready to get terminated, Karen, in the name of God. Anyway, but here's the thing. Where had this man just been? He had been to church. He was a worshiper of God. Here's the thing, and I wrote this down so you could remember this. You can be a witness to a Christian just as well as you can to a non-Christian. This isn't about raising our church attendance. This isn't about getting more people here. You can be a witness to another Christian, because let me tell you something. There are thousands of Christians who are in church right now who have no idea what they're hearing. There are thousands of Christians who have read the Bible for years, who grew up in church, who still don't understand Jesus, who still don't understand what the new covenant is, who still don't understand how to live out grace and mercy and love, especially at work, right? That's why some of us are here. Amen, right? That's why some of us are here, because we've had church put a bad taste in our mouth because the people who were supposed to be Christian and be Jesus weren't very Jesus-like. So here's the thing. You can be a witness to a Christian. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. I'll admit this right now. I hate to admit this, but I'll tell you right now. Sarah Spees, where are you at? Sarah Spees, my neighbor, who has been part of our church for the last 2 years. In group last week, I shared something, and she nailed my butt to the wall. She started preaching to me, and she said, Michael, you just need to do this, and you need to let go of these things. And I just about melted in my seat. I'm going, are you the one with a religion degree over here telling me how to live my life? You know, I almost wanted to get defensive. But you know what? Everything she said was right. God spoke through her in that moment, and it meant the world to me. Let's give it up for Sarah. Good job, Sarah, right? You can do that for anybody. You can speak words of wisdom into a pastor's life, into a Christian's life, into a saint's life. It don't matter. God can use you to be a witness to anybody. Now, what happened in this story is that Philip ends up getting inside of the chariot or whatever they were in, and then Philip, he starts to explain Jesus to him. And this is what happens next. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? So what probably happened here is that the man was reading Isaiah, which is Old Covenant, Old Testament law that doesn't make a whole lot of sense and isn't really relevant in light of what Jesus did. And so he was probably trying to look at the law and trying to live as a good, righteous, religious person and couldn't figure out how to do it as a eunuch. And then Philip gets in the chariot and says, actually, it's all about Jesus, and all you got to do is this. And he probably explained baptism to him. And so the eunuch was like, if that's what I got to do, then sign me up. There's some water. Let's go get baptized. And so he gave orders to stop the chariot, pull that thing over. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. And they came up out of the water, and the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip away, which this is a really cool, fun, nerdy fact. Philip became the first teleporter right in that moment. That's the way I take it. That's the way my professors in college took it. And then Philip was teleported by Jesus. So anyways, teleported away, and the eunuch did not ever see him again. What an awesome opportunity for him to be a witness, for him to make a difference in this man's life who had probably gone to church for a long time but just didn't understand Jesus. An incredible thing happened to me this week. I was at Starbucks with a new friend, just getting coffee, just meeting each other for the first time and talking. It was a guy, for those of you who are wondering, who are you meeting with, Pastor? Who are you meeting for the first time? It was just a friend of mine, mutual friend. I wanted to get coffee with him, so we got coffee. And so anyway, we were just talking about the church, because I think there are so many amazing things happening in the church right now. I have so much hope and optimism and so encouraged by the church right now. I mean, for people who are doom and gloom and think that we're just behind, you are so wrong. If Kanye West is writing a Jesus gospel album, we are doing pretty good, because there is just revival happening right now, and it's awesome. God's doing amazing things through our church. I have so many new ideas, and the church is changing, and I think that the future is just bright for us. And so I was getting a little excited, like I do, talking in the middle of Starbucks. I was probably talking a little loud. And then all of a sudden, this woman came up, and she touched my shoulder, and she said, excuse me, you two sound like you are brothers in Christ. And she said, I just wanted you to know, if you would come over here, my husband is over here. And she pointed to her husband, who was sitting in the corner, who you could obviously see who was in pain. And she said, I was just wondering, my husband over here, he is in stage 4 cancer, and he is in so much pain. The cancer is in his back. He is in pain. And you two, I heard you talking, and you just sound like brothers in Christ. And I was wondering if you would come over and you would encourage him and lay hands on him. Now, I'm just meeting this guy for the first time. But of course, I'm like, let's go. And he was like, absolutely, let's go. And so we went over. His name was Daniel. We went over. We met Daniel. We talked to Daniel. He frequents Troy many times. I told him about our non-for-profit company, Anchored Hope, that's in Troy, Missouri. No, I told him, I said, hey, I'm a pastor. And I said, I'm at Anchored Hope Church. And told him all about us and stuff. We talked to him for about 15 minutes and just encouraged him. And then we laid hands on Daniel and we prayed for him in the middle of Starbucks. And it was this awesome moment just to be used by God, to be able to be a witness to this man that I had never met. And you know what was so incredible about that moment? I didn't need a microphone. I didn't need a service. I didn't need music. All I needed was to be in the witness position, right? That's all I needed to do was to be ready. Here's my question for you, and this might be the hardest question you've been asked all week. Are you ready? Let me ask you, if you were in my shoes, I wasn't talking very pastorally. I was just talking as a Christian in the middle of that Starbucks. And that woman, who I don't even know if she goes to church or not, life was not going well, and she was not prepared for this. And all she knew at that time to do was to ask somebody who sounded like they were filled with the Spirit, to ask somebody who seemed like they might be a Christian, who might know the God of God and the King of Kings, if they would just come over and say a couple words of encouragement and pray for her dear husband who's in so much pain. Let me ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to be a witness? Are you ready for if somebody comes up to you at work and tells you that they're struggling with their marriage, are you ready to give them wise advice? Are you ready if somebody tells you that they're struggling with their relationship with their kids, if they're struggling at their relationships with work? Are you ready to give to be the voice of God, to speak wisdom? Are you ready to pray for somebody? If somebody comes up to you and goes, you know what? We got surgery this week. My husband has cancer. This is what's going on in our life. I was just wondering, you're a Christian, right? So obviously you pray. I'm just wondering, could you come into the middle of this restaurant, then meet this person that you never know? Could you lay hands on them and could you pray out loud for them for a bit? Now, some of you, let's be honest, if that happened to you, you'd freak out, wouldn't you? You would. Do you not see that that's a problem? That's not how it should be? Because here's the thing, there's nothing special about me, okay? I live on the same playing field as you do. You have just as much an opportunity, if not more, to be a witness to somebody out there. And it can happen at work, it could happen at home, it could happen in the middle of Starbucks, it could happen at Walmart, it could happen anywhere. You don't know. And so if you're not ready, you are not only going to fail yourself, you're going to fail that person. Because that person needed you at that time. They needed you to be of God. They needed you to be the hands of Jesus. They needed you to be filled with the Spirit in that moment. And if you're not ready, you're going to fail that person. You're going to give bad advice. You're going to lead them the wrong direction. We have to, as Christians, be ready because we have been commissioned by Jesus to be fishers of men, to spread the gospel message to our friends, to our community, to our coworkers. But if they don't see that salt and that light in your life, then the opportunity will never come. But if the opportunity comes and you're not ready, you will fail that person. But let me encourage you with this. This is the last thing I'll say. If you are ready, and you get to be in that moment. And in that moment, you get to be a witness to somebody. It is the most rewarding thing you will ever be a part of in your life. There are pictures all over this church, all over my office, of me with other people whose lives I have touched. Not me specifically, but how God has used me in their story, used me in their path. Nothing special that I've done. Many of you have played an equal part in that. But just to know that I played a small role in that gives me so much purpose in life, so much encouragement. To hear that here in just a few weeks in December that the Olsons are going to be able to adopt their children. Their children that they have fostered this last year, they are going to get to adopt. And I got to baptize those kids. And I get to hang out with them. When I was hanging out with Carrie's son at the back door at Trunk or Treat, and that kid who I just met in the last year, is handing invite cards to people to come and sit and to come to church. And I'm standing there and I'm like, hey, I think we can stop now. He's like, no, there's more people coming. There's more people coming. I got cards. I still got more cards in my hand, Mike. I got to hand them all out. His dedication and his passion for that. I went home that night and I took a selfie with him and I sent it to Carrie and Jake and I said, how amazing is this story? This kid's life has changed from abused to standing at the back door of the church, handing out invite cards, wanting to bring people to God's family, to be a part of that just a little bit, to have a little role in that, to be able to watch it, brings me so much happiness and joy and fulfillment in my life. To watch the affordable Christmas shop, to be able to see kids like Savannah and many of your children every single Sunday who I have baptized and I have known from little, to know that their story has changed and God's going to do things with them in the future, brings me so much joy. To see my friends from CrossFit or in the community walking to church brings me so much joy. When you get to be a part of that, it is the most fulfilling thing you will ever do in your life. And I am no one special. You have just as much opportunity as I do, if not more. And so God wants to do that in your life this week, if you'll let him. I want to pray for you this morning. Because just like Philip, God wants to use you in someone's story. So this morning, I want to invite you to pray that God would use you. I want you this morning to take the opportunity to get your heart and your mind ready to be used by God this week, because there's somebody that he wants to pull you up alongside of and share Jesus with. God, this morning, you have spoken to our hearts. God, this morning, I pray that you would get our hearts ready, that this week there is somebody out there that we can make a difference in their life. We can speak words of wisdom. We can speak words of encouragement. We can be optimistic. We can be a blessing. God, you have given us this opportunity to be a witness to somebody out there. And so, God, this morning, would you transform us from the inside out? Would you help us to be the salt and the light of the world? God, this morning, would you help us to live out love around everyone that we meet? And then, God, as opportunities open, as people see a difference in us, when they come to us, God, I pray that we are ready. I pray we are ready to be a witness. I pray we are ready to pray. I pray that we are ready to share what we have learned here today with someone else. Because, God, there is no greater message than that you love us. And so, God, would you help us to live that out this week? Would you help us to be love and teach love and live love in our world, in our community, to all those around us? God, we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We'd love it if you'd help us out by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Also, join us at our physical location in Troy, Missouri at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.